تزكية لقلوبنا وتطهيرا لنفوسنا وتعجيلا لفرج سيدنا ومولانا بقية الله الأعظم الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. عطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. صلى الله عليك سيدي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أمير المؤمنين. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي، السلام عليك يا سيدتي ومولاتي يا زهراء، السلام عليك وعلى أبيك وبعلك وبنيك، السلام عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله الحسين، السلام عليك سيدي يا شهيد كربلاء. Salutations upon you, O stranger in the land of Karbala. Salutations upon you, O martyr in the land of Karbala. السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفوة الله. Salutations upon you, inheritor of Adam, the chosen one of Allah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuh, Nabi Allah. Salutations upon you, O inheritor of Nuh, the prophet of Allah. السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله. السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله. السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله. السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله. السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين. Salutations upon you, O beloved Hussein. Salutations upon you, O beloved Abba Abdillah. Dear brothers and sisters, when we go with Imam Hussein alayhi salam on his journey to Karbala, every step of the journey moves our hearts, moves our mind, engages the young and the old, engages everyone, those who believe and those who don't believe. It brings the heart of the believers, the hearts of those who were with Imam Hussein, even the enemies of Imam Hussein. Shed the tear on Imam Hussein. Dear brothers and sisters, when Imam Hussein was in Mecca, he sent his cousin Muslim ibn Aqil to Kufa. They say Muslim passed through Medina and then headed all the way to Kufa. Imam Hussein alayhi salam with the woman and the children left to Karbala. Muslim went ahead of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to the city of Kufa. Later we will talk about what happened to Muslim. But when the news of Muslim came back to Imam Hussein, dear brothers and sisters, they say there were all the young children playing together, and there was Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now the adults have received the news. They know what happened to Muslim. They were holding themselves composed together. They say Imam Hussein alayhi salam, from among the children, he called upon one. Her name was Hamida. He took her in his arm. He hugged her. He kissed her. As he entered where all the adults were sitting, when they saw Imam Hussein with this young child, with the daughter of a Muslim, he hugged Hamida. He held her. Then he did something. He took his hand and he wiped his hand over the head of Hamida. Hamida, the young daughter of a Muslim, was so bright. She looked at her uncle Imam Hussein. She said, "I'm Hussein. Why is it you do to me what they do to the orphans? I'm Hussein, Uncle Hussein. Tell me, talk to me, what happened to my father, a Muslim?" Upon saying these words, everyone sitting started crying, started shedding the tears. Imam Hussein held Hamida. Look what Imam Hussein told this daughter of Muslim. Bunayya Hamida, daughter Hamida, I am your father. My daughters are your sisters. Hamida, Hamida. They say on the side there was a young girl sitting. She started crying, her head between her knees. As Imam Hussein looked at her, he looked at his daughter Sukaina. He came to his daughter Sukaina. Bunayya Sukaina, daughter Sukaina, why are you crying? She said, Father, today Hamida has someone to take her in, someone to wipe his hand over her head. But tomorrow in Karbala, who will take me, who will hug me, who will run their hands over my head? غريب كربلاء مظلوم كربلاء الشهيد كربلاء يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. The Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم. إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. Dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله والحمد لله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. As we follow in the previous lectures and build up on the topic, I would like to address few issues as I expand further on the discussion that I started in the back in the past few nights. What are we trying to achieve? We address the questions, the issue of asking questions and criticizing. And we found the importance of the topic of a criticizing and how rooted it is to the reason that it can either bring together a community or divide up a community. And in this, we are not talking about the prohibition of asking questions. On the contrary, we have explored and emphasized on the value of importance to ask the question. And we should always promote the analytical thinking of our young adults, our youth, and how we can promote it in our community. The question at hand is not whether we should ask questions or not. And the question at hand is not whether we should criticize or not criticize. But how should we criticize in order for us to build and not to destroy? How should we build so we have such a component in our lives called a criticism, that constructive criticism that would help us all individually and as a community to grow? And there are a few elements that I would like to talk about tonight and move on with the topic in order for us to build a community ready for our 12th Holy Imam alayhi salam. And one of the most important element when we want to criticize someone on an issue is that we are experts on the issue. For I cannot, Allah Azza wa Jal in the verse that I just read says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, and do not follow that of which you have no knowledge of, because إِنَّ السَّمْعَ, your hearing, وَالْبَصَرَ, your sight, وَالْفُؤَادَ, your heart, كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولَ, you are responsible for all these abilities Allah has given to you. These senses that God has given you, you have a responsibility towards them. So when I put myself, when I follow something I do not have knowledge of, I put myself in a position that I should not be. How can I ask of some, can I criticize something I am not knowledgeable of? Dear brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal in many different places of the Holy Quran talks about what happened to individuals and how they approach the prophets alayhim as-salam. They criticized the prophets, they tried to bring down the prophets. Now these individuals, either they had the knowledge of or they lacked the knowledge of. If they lacked the knowledge of, what happened to them? They were either people who tried to learn or people who just criticized for the purpose of what? A criticizing. They had nothing to defend themselves and they just wanted to create noise around the Prophet in the atmosphere to completely take down the Prophet. Or they wanted to know, if they wanted to know, then they constructed an argument to the Prophet, and the Prophet alayhi afdhalu salatu wassalam wa ala ali bayti at-tayyibin at-tahirin was able to answer them back. See, in a lot of times when we talk, when we want to criticize, we either know of the topic, we have some information, some sort of knowledge, or we don't. When we don't, that's where it's dangerous to approach and try to criticize. What should we do? We should ask, not criticize. If we see someone doing something, working a project, trying to carry a project through, we either know about the subject matter or we don't know about the subject matter. If I don't know about the subject matter, what should I do? My duty at that point is to learn or try to learn. Now, you know what's a problem that most of us fall into? We think we can try to become experts on everything. Attempt it, but you'll be wasting your time because there's a capacity to the human abilities. What you ought to do is find yourself where you feel that you are great at. In finding a career, when you try to find a career or something to study, you know, some people, a lot of people in the community might be from the second they're born, they're either a doctor or an engineer. Or maybe a pharmacist too. Right? Right? Come on, you know that's a true statement. And if you try to pick something else or do something else, you're in trouble. Why does this happen, dear brothers and sisters? You know why? Because most of the adults, when they fail, they try to make their daughters and sons do something they failed at. So what happens? They want to make their children live their dreams. The dreams of whom? Of the adults. Right or wrong? The adults are not talking. There's a reality here. When I fail at something, and now because I failed, I'm going to force my child to do something, when is my child going to realize this? It is later on when he or she finds themselves very miserable at their workplace and not so innovative. Innovation is important in your lives. How can you leave your signature? How can you leave your signature in your life if you do not love what you're doing? You cannot become innovative if you're not enjoying what you're doing. If you're not creative enough, if you're not putting your time and effort, how does a person spend hours in and hours out at their workplace, on their work, in their studies, if they don't love it, if they don't like it? Most people, what do they want to do? Just check in and check out. You become a 9-to-5 person. Or you just go to the course, you go to the college, the university to do what? Just in order for you to pass by, in order for you to get that degree. But your passion is not in it. Now keep in mind, I am not saying go on the other extreme and do something that is just what you are passionate about without the guidance and the supervision of those who have experience. I'm not saying that. Because some of us take either extreme. Okay, you know what? I want to get into drama. I want to have a... Some people, one time a person came to me and said, I have a decision. I made my decision. He's a guy too. I said, what is it? He goes, I want to have my degree, and my degree is going to be in dancing. I'm like, okay, how do you talk to this person? In other cultures, this might be acceptable. Why? And why shouldn't it be acceptable in our culture that dancing degree is okay, or drama, or acting? Because the values are different. See, I am not going to attack the person who chooses to do such things. It's not the time and place. But I say to us, those who are living the values of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, do I want to invest my livelihood in such a degree? For what is it that I can do to benefit the community? Some might have a good case with drama. I don't know. I'm not going to discuss it right now. But have a good case, and that case needs to be rooted in your values, in what principles you are brought up with. Don't come up with ideas and careers and things you want to do out of the blue. No, you need it to be rooted in who you are. Who you are is how you're brought up with the principles. If you're brought up in a culture that is far away from the principles and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you'll find your children, your daughters and sons coming up with very strange things when they become adults. Listen, we only reap what we plant. Let me tell you this, please. Some parents come and tell me, oh my God, how did this happen? I sit them down. I get to know them. Well, you know how it happened. Because you stayed away from your children. Because you didn't pay attention to them. You only tried to feed them, clothe them, and push them into school. And force them to get the A's. That's it. And if they didn't get, it was a transaction. It was a business. You get the A's, the high degree, the high grades, I'm going to give you something in return. I'm going to give you some sort and form of wealth. They learned the game. They understood, I get the A's. You did not, some people, I'm sure others did not do as such, they did a better job. They linked success with monetary value. I give you this if you get a grade. They did not link it with what is right and wrong. They did not root it in the belief system. They did not say, regardless of what you get paid, you ought to do what is right because it is right. And you will never do what is right because of it's right if you don't have that belief system embedded in who you are. And how do we do this? It's the way we teach. So we go back and say, when we are to criticize others, we need to be experts in the field in order for us, when we criticize, it becomes a dialogue for what purpose? For advancements and not for destruction. I criticize
I criticize a project not just because I don't like it. No, because it's either, first of all, I am knowledgeable of it, and my knowledge dictates that it might not be in line with the goals and objective of your life, of the community, of the center. That's why I start criticizing. I have to have a good base for my criticism. I want to build up the community. I want to build up the organization. I want to build up the center. I want to build up your life. I want to build up your parents, your children. I want to be part of the success and not part of your failure. And that's why. And that's why collectively, when I try to criticize an issue, and there are different issues that we criticize each other's on. And again, as I said, my own lectures are criticism. But what? A criticism with knowledge and solution. When you criticize, you want to know how you become successful at your work, and there are a lot of people here who are professionals at work. You can criticize. You can always find problems, but you will be heard in one situation. When you walk into your boss's office, not with the problem, but with the solution. That's when you become the golden boy or girl. That's when your bosses always depend on you. That's when you get the first promotion. That's when you get the listening ear. That is when you become successful. So we need to take a step back. See, when I have to think of a solution, what does this push me to do? Understand the topic further. Understand what does it entail. Understand the components that make it happen. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, it's important. Now, what is the second thing? I said the first element in understanding, in criticizing, is to be an expert, to know the topic before I criticize it, to become knowledgeable. The second thing is to have integrity. This is important. Why? Allah says, listen to the verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا. Who is better in speech, in saying something, than whom? مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. From that who called for the way of Allah, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he did good. He was a person with righteousness and virtue. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And said, I am amongst the Muslims. Here, dear brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling me, before I go ahead and criticize, I need to build integrity in me. Integrity is essential. Why? Because the straightfulness, the ability to be a person who cares, a person who does not want falsehood and want the truth, becomes part of who I am. And that's when I become heard. And that's when my critique, and when I talk to anyone about anything, they care about my opinion. Why? Because they realize you care about them. You care about their project. You care about the community. You care about the organization. See, it all revolves around the same circle. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the third element, and this is important, this is where we need, before we start shooting ideas down, before we start criticizing this board and that committee, we need to realize, would our criticism of this project or that project become an illness, and that illness will divide the community? Because I need to realize, today there is a good project going on. Let's say a project that talks about, for example, I've seen a project that talks about defending the human rights of the Shias in Bahrain, and this is a very beautiful project. Well, I don't like it because they're doing A, B, or C differently. I think they can do it in another way. Well, if I start criticizing this group or that group that is working, they might not be doing the most efficient thing. But first I need to ask myself, can I do something better? If I cannot do something better, let me save my breath and let them do, because little they do is better than nothing I do. Right or wrong? Little, look, what is happening today, whether in Pakistan, whether it's Bahrain, whether it's in Afghanistan, many different places, so many vicious attacks against Shia Muslims. We need to incorporate our defense for the human rights of the Shia Muslims in different places because we're in America. We have a voice that can be heard. How can we mobilize this? I might not like this organization or that organization, but I need to be very smart before I criticize what they do to ask myself, can I do even 1% better than them or not? Can I do something equal to them? Let's say I want to aspire for 90% and I think they're doing 5%. I ought to ask myself, can I do 5% in defense for the human rights of the Shia Muslims or not? If I can't, let me just take the back seat, let them do the 5% instead of me doing the 0%. In any project, even let's say building a mosque, building a center, giving a lecture, giving a lesson, I need to ask myself, when I criticize, is this a critique going to create a social illness, going to create a destruction for the community? What will it do? You are going to be responsible. Not only imagine those people, let's take an example for those defending the human rights in Pakistan or in Bahrain. If my work, listen to me very carefully, very carefully, very carefully, because consider yourself served this threat. Yes, it's a threat I'm making to you. What is that? If I destroy this little work just because I don't like what they're doing, and this little work might have saved one soul, one innocent soul, it becomes your responsibility. So therefore, you better check yourself and review what you're doing over and over and over again before you start taking shots at other people's work. Is that clear? This is the message that we learn from Muharram and from Karbala. Look at what few people did. Do you realize, did anyone think 170 people will change the history of the universe? Did anyone think? They thought, there is a leader, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a few people. With a few people, what can they do? They're just going to make a little bit of a noise. They, until today, you know what they're doing? You know what they did? You know the blood of Hussein alayhi salam, what it did? I will tell you and keep on listening. The fourth element I want to talk about, dear brothers and sisters, when we criticize, is the style in which we criticize. I might have the best of knowledge, the best of intention, but if I approach someone in a wrong way, I just create a barrier. And if I create a barrier, he or she will not listen to me. Why is it that I create these barriers? Why is it that I do not try to be an open heart and mind first to others before others can do it to me? You know, most of us, when we start talking, when someone starts talking to us, what happens to us? We start not listening, but thinking how to respond to him or her. Before we respond, we need to pay attention and listen attentively. That's the problem. We don't listen attentively. We need to take the time to absorb the points, analyze them, think of them, then either accept them or reject them. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Yesterday I recited this verse. And do not argue with the people of scriptures, إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن, except in a way that is best. What is the way that is best that Allah is talking about? I need to find the best argument, the best content, the best style, the best way. I cannot just attack some people. You know, in the previous lectures I talked about, sometimes individuals, we have this one cup, and each and every one of us looks at the cup from a different way. sometimes we all see the same thing, but we see it from different angle. It doesn't mean that every time someone has a different opinion, his opinion is right or her opinion is right. At times, we are all talking about the same reality from different angles. Then all we need to do is explore further, ask further. Before we criticize and argue with people, we need to understand their mindsets. We need to find out why do they say what they say. Dear brothers and sisters, it is important to realize Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam taught us a lot of things. Amongst what they taught us, and when we look at the history of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and all our Imams, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam amongst his companions is Hisham ibn al-Hakam. Hisham ibn al-Hakam was known to be a very young scholar. And a young scholar, you know, when someone has knowledge and has the youth, becomes a little bit, how could I nicely say it? They have a lot of energy, all right? They have a lot of energy. And sometimes when we get into a discussion or an argument with others, it becomes heated discussion. We raise our voices or we do things that are not appropriate. Well, Hisham ibn al-Hakam always was authorized by the Imam Salamullahi Ta'ala alayhi to debate with other schools. He was amongst the few, although he was young at age. He was a very young man. Now, Abu Shakir al-Disani was one of the atheists. He was one of the individuals that, amongst others, that always argued at the time of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam with the regarding the existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla and other discussions. The names don't come to me right now. But, you know, he always, when he one time was discussing with a companion of the Imam alayhi salam, Hisham ibn al-Hakam, he told him, "Hisham, your teacher, look at how the Imam teaches us." He goes, "Your teacher argued with us at many times. But he allows us to say what we had, and he allowed us to describe, and he allowed us to talk our minds before he answered us." Al-Mufaddal one time, who narrates an entire book on behalf of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, was sitting down when he heard two individuals, an atheist and his friend, talking right by the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Do you believe this man in the grave until today? His name is being recited on the minbar 5 times. And what did he come up with? He came with things to believe in what they call God." This was right by the grave in Medina. Mufaddal was so mad, he came and he told him, "How dare you say that?" And he started yelling at him. He said, "Listen, Ya Mufaddal, if you were a follower, a companion of an Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, do as he does with us. He would listen to us, he would treat us well, he would talk to us well, until we even think that we beat him and we were victorious in our arguments. Then he would come back and he will take each argument, one after the other, and take it apart. Why do you act as such? Why is it that we sometimes see that our enemies have the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt that we should have first? Why?" You know why? Because we do not understand the content. We don't understand that knowledge. Dear brothers and sisters, I have just talked to you about the 4 elements in how we should criticize one another. How we should criticize, period. I have been talking in the past few nights how to ask the questions, how to address one another. Dear brothers and sisters, why is it that you think we have all these rules in addressing these topics? You know why? And this is what I want you to learn from all the past nights and what you're going to build up on all the following nights. We are doing this. We are putting these rules. We are giving these lectures. We are putting these institutions, creating these institutions, these mosques, these centers. Why do we have conferences? Why do we try to do all of this? It's for one reason. Why did Allah send prophets after prophets? He could have sent one prophet and the whole message packed and done. No, He keeps on sending the prophets. He keeps on giving us the imams. Our responsibility is to start these institutions, to start these centers, to make these lectures for one reason. It is so we can protect the knowledge. So we can protect the knowledge that Allah sent to us. If you look, knowledge itself is weak, defenseless. Knowledge itself, when you look at the truth and falsehood, the truth itself gets defeated at times. You find people like Yazid defeating, although temporarily, what is known to be the truth. Where is the truth? We see people like Muawiyah getting people. We see people like Pharaoh. We see people throughout time rejecting the prophets, rejecting the apostles, rejecting the imams alayhim salam, killing them. The blood of the imams alayhim salam is for what purpose was it shed? To protect the knowledge. The knowledge itself, how is it protected? The powers that was given is through the fitrah of the human being, that innate that we are all born with, to decipher right from wrong, to try to understand the truth and the knowledge we acquire. The way we defend the knowledge is how? It's through our emotions. It's through what we provide in order. Why do people give their lives? These emotions that move people to give their lives because they're attached to that knowledge. They want to defend it. Knowledge itself alone is weak if it's not protected by all the powers. Why do we have these cultures, the traditions, the customs that we have? Why do we have these traditions? You know why we have them? Because these traditions protect the knowledge. Why is it that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked his companions, do you gather together? Do you mention our issue? Do you bring our issue to discussion? He said, yes. He goes, Rahimallahu man ahya amrana. May Allah have mercy on those who revive our issue. What is the issue? It's the knowledge. In Ashura, the greatness of Ashura, it is because it revives that knowledge. It brings life to that knowledge. This tradition of Muharram, the tradition of the Azadari, the tradition of crying, the tears are the emotions to do what? If my emotions is just become a battlefield, my emotions are not complete. When my emotion, I shed the tear because I want to protect the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, now that is the emotion, that is the tear that the Imam says, every eye is crying on the Day of Judgment, except one that shed the tear on Imam Hussein. It will be safeguarded and it will see heaven. Why? Because it was protecting the knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal, when we look at the Prophet of Musa alayhi salam, look at what Allah mentions in the Holy Quran. قَالَ قَدْ أُوْتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. You have been answered what you asked for. وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. And we have given you, blessed you another time. إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا. He reminds him, when we have inspired your mother, ma yuha, what was inspired, which tells us, by the way, when we listen, when we read, I want you to realize, when you read, why does Allah Azza wa Jal talks about Musa, Isa, Yusuf, and all the other prophets in the Holy Quran? You know why? When you start reading with an eye of accuracy and analysis, the stories of the prophets, alayhim salam, dear brothers and sisters, and I wish I had the time, but the nights are limited, you'll find that every story brought to the Holy Quran about the Prophet, alayhim salam, it's in reality a story reminding us of the 12th Holy Imam, salamullahi ta'ala alayhi. But that's the claim. Look at this. إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ. We inspired your mother. Was his mother a prophet? Was his mother someone, a messenger of Allah? But she was someone that Allah Azza wa Jal gave her a secret. He had told her that you will be going through this, and the story of Moses is known to you, and you will be protecting my hujjah on earth, my proof on earth. He says, "An iqdhifihi fi at-tabut, faqdhifihi fi al-yam, falyulqihi al-yam bis-sahil, ya'khudhuhu 'aduwwun li wa 'aduwwun lakum." The very steps of what will happen to Moses alayhi salam until Pharaoh, the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal, will take him. Subhanallah. Musa alayhi salam was the proof of Allah Azza wa Jal on earth, and he went into occultation where? With Pharaoh, in Pharaoh's palace. People didn't know. Don't you think at the time of the Egyptians, at the time of the Pharaohs, Fir'aun, he knew there was someone to be born that will destroy his empire? Subhanallah, Al-Imam Al-Hujjah alayhi salam, at the time of the Abbasids, didn't they know, the Abbasids, that someone will be born at the time, the 12th Imam after Imam Al-Hasan Askari alayhi salam, that will shake their empire? They even moved. Why do you think Imam Al-Hasan Askari and Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam were moved all the way to Samarra? Samarra was known to be one of the most important camps for the military and the army of Bani Abbas. They were so scared, they want the two imams to be under the eyes of the military and the army. They wanted everyone to be, to see, to watch for what? For the 12th holy imam to be born. And we know, if you read in the history, Narjis alayha salam, the signs of pregnancy were not shown on Narjis until the night of. Even Hakima kept on going to Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam, asking him, Imam, I can't see her. Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam, you know, he told Hakima. And Hakima, she kept on looking at Narjis, and Narjis had no signs of pregnancy. In her mind, she had some, she said, Subhanallah, where would that sign be? And Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam, with the power of Imam, and knew what she was thinking. He said, do not doubt our issue. Hakima said, I don't, I'm just asking. Then and there, when the Imam alayhi salam, in his miraculous birth, Subhanallah, what happened? Went into occultation. Exactly like Moses. Moses alayhi salam, when he was born, he went into occultation. Pharaoh didn't know what happened. He didn't know where that person, Subhanallah, how God made him under the eyes of Pharaoh without Pharaoh realizing. You want to talk about the Imam alayhi salam, the 12th holy Imam? Those who question, how could this happen? Read the Quran. Understand the stories of the prophets. Every prophet went into occultation and was brought back. The only difference, and that's why when we look at the Imams, as I started earlier today, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Musa, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahim, ya waritha Isa, ya waritha Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, inherit this. And this is why, dear brothers and sisters, they are here to protect that knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي, and I cast upon you love from me, وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي, and so you might be brought up before my eyes. Allah is saying, I'm gonna protect you and I will take care of you, and you will be brought up before my eyes. Subhanallah. Dear brothers and sisters, the topic is so interesting. When we read the Holy Quran, we find our Imam resembles all the prophets. Our Imam alayhi salam is a reflection, a manifestation, and a retold story of every prophet alayhi afdhalus salatu wassalam. And this is where we need to understand further. Subhanallah, what is our role? Are we part of the support system to protect the knowledge, or do we become part of a destruction tool to destroy the knowledge? Do we become on the camp of Iblis, who said, I do not want the means to Allah, I do not want the wasila, I want something else? Do we become enemies to those who Khuzanul Ilm? Subhanallah. Look at the Ziyarah Jami'ah. If we just understand the visitations of Ahlul Bayt and read Mafatih al Jinan and understand when we visit Ahlul Bayt, when you stand before the shrines of Ahlul Bayt, why do we do what we do? Why do we erect such beautiful shrines to Ahlul Bayt? These are symbols. Symbols to what? Symbols to the knowledge. And we either become their support system, protecting the knowledge, or we become enemies and destructive tools to those knowledge. You choose. When we talk, we need to think. When we act, we need to think. What role do we play, dear brothers and sisters? And we see when Imam Hussein salamullahi ta'ala alayhi, when he sends someone like Muslim to represent him in Kufa, he sent to the people of Kufa, he said, huwa thiqati, he's my trustworthy man that I sent to you. Subhanallah. Dear brothers and sisters, we go to Karbala, we go and see what happened to Muslim alayhi salam. They say on the 15th of the month of Ramadan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam dispatched Muslim. They say Muslim took the route from Medina to Kufa. Now, imagine Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, he became the governor of both cities, Al-Basra and Al-Kufa. Yazid sent him and told him, listen, I charge you with something very important. Subhanallah, Yazid, the worst man on earth, he dispatches who? The second worst man on earth. One who is actually equal to him. He is Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam dispatching someone like Muslim ibn Aqil. They say when Ibn Ziyad went from Basra into Kufa, he wanted to see what is going on. How is the situation in Kufa? He said he was, when he entered, he disguised himself, so no one would know that he's Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And understand, at the time, people did not know everyone. There was no television, there was no easy access to images. So people did not all recognize who Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. They say Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad entered Kufa. People didn't know who was he. He entered with about 50 men. He went directly to the castle, to the main place in Kufa, where the governor used to be. He opened the doors, he entered, and he showed him the dispatch from Yazid. Now, when he entered, he saw people around in the city of Kufa asking about Imam Hussein. When is Imam Hussein coming? Why? When Muslim ibn Aqil entered Kufa, he started gathering the people of Kufa. They said Muslim had at least 18,000 individuals praying behind him. Some say there were about 40,000 soldiers paid allegiance to Muslim. They say, dear brothers and sisters, Muslim at the beginning used to be holding the meetings at the house of Al-Mukhtar. And then when Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad came, he started threatening the people. He started buying the people. He started creating divisions among the people. Until I don't have enough time, I would have went into the details of Muslim, dear brothers and sisters. But let's go into what happened to Muslim when he had to go into hiding at Han ibn Urwa's house. Now the Shia were meeting in secret at the house of Han ibn Urwa until Ibn Ziyad wanted to find out what is happening to the Shia. Where are they meeting? Where is Muslim? He sent Ma'qil, who was a spy. He acted like one of the Shia and he wanted to infiltrate and go inside and find what the Shias are doing. He was able to infiltrate and then he was taking the news to Ibn Ziyad. They say Muslim ibn Aqil was at the house of Hani. And at one point, Ibn Ziyad wanted to go and visit Han ibn Urwa. Dear brothers and sisters, Han ibn Urwa told Muslim, Muslim, go into hiding behind the curtains and let Ibn Ziyad come. And when he's in, you assassinate him. Ibn Ziyad came into the house. Muslim ibn Aqil was hiding behind the curtain. Every now and then, Han ibn Urwa would signal to Muslim, and nothing happened. Ibn Ziyad left. When he was asked, Muslim, why didn't you kill him? He said, I am from a household. We do not assassinate people. We do not kill people in sudden kills like this. Dear brothers and sisters, Ibn Ziyad went and captured Han ibn Urwa. They say when Hani was captured, Muslim ibn Aqil called upon the Shia. They surrounded the palace of Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad started buying the people, dividing the people, until every person started to threaten his brother and his father. The mother would take her child. The woman would call for her husband. Until Muslim ibn Aqil, they say, was left with only few hundreds. When he went to pray in Masjid al-Kufa, they say Muslim ibn Aqil looked around him. There were only 18 people left. At the time when he was leaving the mosque of Kufa, Muslim ibn Aqil looks around him. There was no one to show Muslim the way around Kufa. They say Muslim ibn Aqil started walking in the alleys of Kufa, trying to find refuge. He had one thing he wanted to do. What was it? He wanted to send Hussein alayhi salam the message. Ya Hussein, the people of Kufa, it turned against you. Dear brothers and sisters, Muslim ibn Aqil wanted to rest in the alleys of Kufa. There was a woman standing who saw Muslim leaning against the wall. She asked him, Ya Hada, what is it you need? He said, just some water, please. She brought him water, and then she went back to the house. She came back out and she saw him still standing. He said, Ya Hada, why are you still standing outside? He said, Wallahi, I don't have a place to go. I don't know where to go. I am all alone in this city. Who are you? I am Muslim ibn Aqil, the messenger of Imam Hussein. Now Ta'a is the lady's name. came. She told him, "You're Muslim? Come inside, come inside." She brought him inside the house, gave him one of the rooms. She had a son called Bilal. Now, Muslim ibn Aqil told her, "Early morning, I will leave just tonight. Let me find a place to stay." They say, Muslim ibn Aqil stayed up the night praying to Allah Azza wa Jal, supplicating. They say, Bilal, her son, came back to the house. At that moment, in Kufa, there was a reward given to anyone that brings Muslim ibn Aqil. Dear brothers and sisters, they say Bilal entered the house of his mother, and at night he kept on seeing her going back and forth, checking on that room. Bilal stopped his mother. "Mother, what are you doing?" She said, don't worry about me. He insisted. He kept on following her. She asked him to promise that he would never give up the news and what is happening. He said, "I wouldn't." And she said, "There is Muslim ibn Aqil, this man, Bilal. Early morning before sunrise, he went to Ibn Ziyad. He said, 'I have what you want.' Now Ibn Ziyad dispatched soldiers to get and grab Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil, before sunrise, he hears the horses coming. He realized, look at the heart of Muslim. He did not want the woman to be bothered in her house. He decided to leave the house before anything happens." They say, Muslim ibn Aqil, as he left the house, dear brothers and sisters, the soldiers gathered around Muslim ibn Aqil. They started fighting Muslim. Muslim was fighting them from the right and the left. The soldiers asked for more support, for more backup. They told Ibn Ziyad, "Don't you know who you sent us for? You sent us to Muslim ibn Aqil." There was only one way. They realized only trickery would help them get Muslim. They dug a hole in the middle of the road, and they started, and they covered it up, and they started fighting Muslim, pushing him until he fell in the hole. And then they gathered around him, trying to grab him until he lost his sword, and they captured Muslim. One struck him from the back, one struck him from the front, holding Muslim. Muslim then was taken as a prisoner of war to the castle of Ibn Ziyad. They say, Muslim, as he approached the palace, at the entry, at the gateway, someone gave him the water. Muslim ibn Aqil, looking at the water, every time he tried to drink, it would fall because he was so hurt. Muslim was wounded as he was brought into the castle of Ibn Ziyad. They say, Muslim, he was ordered to salute Ibn Ziyad as Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, "I shall not cast such a label on such a person." Ibn Ziyad said, "Whether you like it or not, you shall be killed." And after back and forth with Ibn Ziyad ordered Muslim ibn Aqil to be killed. He was taken to the roof of the palace. They say, dear brothers and sisters, when Muslim ibn Aqil was about to be beheaded, he was seen with tears coming from his eyes. The man who was supposed to behead him told him, "Someone like you should not be crying in this moment." He said, "Wallah, the tear is not for me, but I'm crying for Imam Hussein, with the children and the woman coming to Kufa. I wish I have someone to send him the news." Ah, Muslim, Muslim, they say, after beheading Muslim. What did the enemies of Allah do? They took Muslim and they threw him from the top of the palace, and then they dragged his body along the streets of Kufa. Anyone with me to call on Muslim? Wa Muslima, wa Muslima, wa Muslima, غريب حسين مظلوم حسين الشهيد حسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. غريب حسين مظلوم حسين شهيد حسين غريب حسين. One more time. غريب غريب حسين مظلوم مظلوم حسين. Everyone شهيد شهيد. Answer حسين. يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين. We ask Allah for the sake of Hussein to accept the little we offer, to accept our work, to forgive us and guide us. بحق محمد وآل محمد. And let us recite Surah Al-Fatiha and offer the blessings of recitation to all the deceased believers. After the Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Hussein, 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 Hussein,
Hussein. Sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. O glorious progeny of Ahmad Ismail. 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 You taught us that only before God we should kneel. You taught us that only before God we should kneel. You taught us that only before God we should kneel. You taught us that only before God we should kneel. That only if we feel the pain of others can we heal. That only if we feel the pain of others can we heal.
The world needs your message of Tawheed and love again. The world needs your message of Tawheed and love again. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. 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 To never surrender our freedom before tyranny. 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 To love mothers and daughters and defeat misogyny. 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 With honor and righteousness fight every felony. With honor and righteousness fight every felony. Enlightened inspiration from your model can we gain. Enlightened inspiration from your model can we gain. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. With liars and hypocrites you spoke with honesty.
With liars and hypocrites you spoke with honesty.
To liars and hypocrites you spoke with honesty. With liars and hypocrites you spoke with honesty. To inhuman savages you preached humanity. To inhuman savages you preached humanity. To inhuman savages you preached humanity.
To inhuman savages you preached humanity.
Responded to crudeness with sensitivity.
Responded to crudeness with sensitivity.
Your life in this world was like in a desert rain. Your life in this world was like in a desert rain.
Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique are your sacrifices,
Zainab and Hussein.
Your methods so discreet, your purpose reform.
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 To free the soul of Deen from hypocritical form.
To free the soul of Deen from hypocritical form.
To free the soul of Deen from hypocritical form.
To free the soul of Deen from hypocritical form.
Resisting those who wish to make exploitation a norm.
Resisting those who wish to make exploitation a norm.
And for these high ideals you would suffer any pain.
And for these high ideals you would suffer any pain. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique are your sacrifices,
Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
You represented Allah's every prophet's legacy.
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 Inherited the purity of Fatima Ali.
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 But did the Ummah value these pillars of piety?
But did the Ummah value these pillars of piety?
They massacred one and paraded the other in chains.
They massacred one and paraded the other in chains. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein. Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique are your sacrifices, Zainab and Hussein.
Unique.